Hello, hello everyone. Welcome on to Branded, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes and beyond the brand to give you the clarity and confidence to challenge the status quo and show the fuck up in your life. I'm super pumped that Lindsay is back. Yeah. All right, y'all, Lindsay Hill, we had her on at the time that you're hearing this. We had her on the podcast about a month ago and we were talking about an entirely different topic. But yes. Hey, we're multifaceted women, right?
Yes, so. Absolutely. Multiple streams of income.
Exactly. Well, I'm super excited to have you back. So today we're going to be talking about women's health, protein intake, like gut health, all the things. And last time, whenever we talked to you, we were talking about how to simplify your network marketing business. And that was a really good conversation. Honestly, yep. If anybody listening is in the network marketing space in that industry, that is a must listen episode. And of course, if you're a woman and you want to be healthy, stay tuned into this one too.
Yes.
So welcome back, Lindsay. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for letting me come back. This is awesome. I love doing this. So thank you again.
Absolutely. And honestly, like you're perfect to talk about this topic because I mean, first off, you've got 20 years plus experience as a college volleyball coach. You yourself, I mean, I can see you if anybody's watching this, you know, on video, Lindsay's in her own gym that, you know, yes. Her and her husband own. So she is living and breathing the fitness industry.
Yes. This actually, we just opened this up January 1st. So it's like a brand new for us too. But both of my husband's also a college baseball coach. So we've been in this world for almost 25 years. So it's just, it's what I'm super passionate about. And in the last 2 years, I've become super passionate about just talking to women and their protein intake, gut health, all the things, because I think that is just such an important topic to talk about.
Yeah. And, you know, I think protein is definitely, gut health is a hot topic right now, right. But I think protein, and that's why I want to dive into it, because I think it is something that people don't actually fully understand, like why right. It's so important, where you can actually find it. You know, to consume the right kinds of proteins. And honestly, yeah, just bringing your awareness into it. It's like not about having a burger. It's about like, right. Where's all this protein coming from? So, you know, obviously you have a huge passion about women's health and protein intake. And walk us through like how much protein as women should we be consuming and why is that even so important?
Yeah. So when I got my certification to be a sports nutritionist, they have standards. Obviously it's not complicated, but it is a formula that you stick in your weight and like your activity level and stuff like that. And normally they tell you to be between that 50 and 70 range grams of protein a day. However, what I'm finding is that most women are deficient or they have symptoms of protein deficiency, even when they're consuming that 50 to 70 grams. And so I really try, no matter where you are in life, to tell women to shoot for 100 grams of protein a day. And I say that because most of us have no problems consuming carbs and fat. Like those are two things that we just normally have no problem consuming, right? But protein is one of those things that lead to a lot of issues in the women, including hormones, fatigue, depression, anxiety, all those things. I mean, there's a huge list of it. And you guys, we use protein for everything. It carries our signals from our gut to our brain. It is helping our muscles function. It's helping our blood flow. It's helping everything, our hormones be transported throughout our body. And if we don't have enough, unfortunately, something has to give, right? And I am in my mid-40s and I have suffered. 2 years ago, I started having hormone issues. Like I just could not get them to balance. And I have just really focused on my protein intake and I am just amazed at how well my body has just corrected itself by just consuming different kinds of protein and consuming more protein. So that's kind of the topic that I think we're going to go in, right? A little bit more, but that is just, it's just so powerful and it's such great information to just tell people that, yeah, there is a standard, I guess you could say, that you should be consuming. But I challenge women to get more than that. And if you really think about it, 100 grams of protein in your diet is only 400 calories. That's it. Because it's 4 calories for every gram of protein you consume. So in your 1,200, 1,500, 2,000 calorie diet, whatever you're shooting for, 400 is not that much in a grand scheme of things.
Yeah. So you're actually wrapping us up on like a tail end of a mini wellness series that I'm doing with this podcast. And so the previous, one of the episodes we had last week was with my friend Joni, and she mentioned very similarly, she was like, I shoot for 150, but that's because she does a lot of strength training too. So she knows she needs a little bit of that extra fuel. But I love that you said like, shoot for the 100, like shoot for the higher mark, because at the very least, you're either going to hit it or you're going to come right underneath it. But if you're aiming low, you're going to hit low. Like, why aim lower? And she was talking about how too, like when she got really focused on her protein intake, got anywhere from like 100 and 150 grams a day, that she noticed that her hair loss and like the health of her hair completely started to change. And she struggled with like super, super thin hair her whole life. And she was like, I can't even imagine not consuming this amount of protein now.
Yeah. I can't tell you the exact amount, but it's like over 100 different jobs that protein is used in our body. Like most people think about protein and they think about putting muscle on, right? Like that's, or they think about iron. For women, it's about iron consumption. But there's just so many more things that protein does in our body beyond just helping us build muscle. And I love that she said 150, like 100 grams is for somebody who is maybe goes and walks for 20 to 30 minutes a day and has a normal, like active lifestyle, but not super. For me right now, I am well above that 100 just because I do CrossFit every single day, on top of teaching classes, on top of chasing two boys around all the time. So mine is like higher too. So I love that she said that. And that's one thing that you can think about, like, what is your activity level for the day? 100 is a minimum, but if you get above that, that's even better. Right. Yeah.
So what are, like, let's dig in a little bit. What are the reasons, like, I guess maybe highlight some of the main reasons as to why we should put more intention on consuming more protein in our, just like in our meals throughout the day? What are some of those like major reasons why?
Right. So one of the things I already said was hormone for women. It is about balancing those hormones. So when we think about carbs, so carbs serve a purpose of, they break down into glucose, into sugar, and that's what our body uses for fuel, right? That is the only really purpose for carbs. Fat is the same way. It's going in. We need those good fats for like brain function and things, but protein has so many more. I wish I could show the picture of the body, and there's like 108 different jobs that protein does in our body, including the signals that go from our guts to our brain. It's carrying those signals in those cells. It's carrying the hormones throughout our body that we talked about. It is going to your muscles to help them contract and restrict all the time. That's what it's being used for. So there's just your heart. It's being used to help your heart function on a consistent basis. And we don't even think about those things, obviously, on a daily basis. But when we don't have enough, something suffers, which in turn, if we're not getting the signals to our brain, it can cause anxiety because we're not having that communication, right? It can cause some depression at the same time. And everything starts in the gut, you guys, everything. Our gut is our second brain. So if our gut is not healthy, our brain is not healthy, which causes, you know, all those things. But it is also like, if you're fatigued, your muscles aren't getting the protein it needs to keep your body going, right? And the same thing with your brain. Like, if it's not getting those proteins, your brain's not going to function to keep you awake, keep you alert, keep you going. There's just so much I could tell you. And those are just like the highlights of what most people suffer from when they just don't get enough protein in their diet.
Yeah. Well, and what we can try to do is track down a picture of like what you're just talking about, and we can put a link in the show notes so that way you guys can go see what Lindsay's talking about. Because I mean, I'm fascinated by the human body and all of the insanely incredible things that it can do. And it really is so wild to think like we really have full control over how we feel, how good our sleep is, how good our bowel movements are. Like all of these things are not out of our control. And even if you're sitting here listening and saying like, I call BS on that because I feel like shit all the time, well, I'm going to lovingly say, do some internal reflection and really look at what are you consuming on a daily basis? Where is it coming from? How processed is it? And start making just the tiniest little changes. So that's actually the next thing I wanted to talk about is for you, I know obviously you mentioned you're very, very active, so your protein intake is much higher, but what does it look like to actually, like, what are some of the foods you're eating?
Right.
What are some foods that you find just in general are great for getting that like good dose every time you're going to go sit down to eat?
Right. So this is important to know too. So proteins are made of, just think of a necklace, right? And they're made of different essential amino acids or non-essential amino acids. And they're just like, every protein is different. They have different lengths and different colors of beads, right? And so the reason you want to eat a variety of protein, just like you eat a variety of the rainbow of fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. you want to eat a variety of proteins because they have different amino acids in order to make your body function, okay? And so the best thing, like there's pure proteins, obviously, which are things that don't have very many carbs or no carbs and hardly any fat. So like seafood and shrimp are great proteins, right? They're almost pure proteins. Shrimp especially is a pure protein. And then also like your beef, don't be afraid to eat beef, friends. It is, especially if you know where it's coming from. That's what I would put the hashtag on all of this stuff. Know where it's coming from. If you know where it's coming from, it's going to be great for you. Same thing with chicken, turkey, even pork. Like if you know where that pork is coming from, it's still got an amino acid chain that none of the protein has. Mm-hmm. And I also consume protein shakes mostly because of the convenience of it. And also I know that it is a pure, it has all of the amino acids in it. So my protein powder has that, and I use it for a variety of things, especially for my kids. I use it for, you know, pancakes and muffins and stuff like that. But if you really think about it, you're wanting to consume three meals a day that have anywhere between 30 and 40 grams of protein. And you guys, our body cannot consume more than 40 grams of protein at one time. So I want that to be a key for you guys. Okay. So we have to eat more than three times a day, and that can just be a snack or two snacks or a recovery shake after you work out. But in the mornings, just make it a high protein. If you start your day high protein, you're going to more apt to like continue that on. It's like eating healthy. Chances of you continuing that sequence on, but you guys, eggs are a great source of protein. If you're a vegan, like even like edamame, tofu has great protein in it. Even you guys, your leafy greens, spinach and all those things, brown rice has it, black beans, they all have protein in them. It's just a matter of making your meal to where you can, you're consuming 30 to 40 grams of protein a day. And I'm just very religious. The first thing that goes in my mouth is my protein. And then I follow it with my fats and carbs, fats first, then carbs. And mostly because I know I will get enough carbs in the day. I don't know that I'm going to get enough protein. So that's why I always go for the protein first.
That's such a good point. Like, you know, you're going to get enough carbs there. It's just going to happen.
Yep.
Naturally, carbs are like in everything. And I think that's probably where people struggle the most is they don't necessarily recognize that you're going to be eating carbs, whether you're realizing it or not, even if you're eating loads of vegetables.
Yep.
There's carbs in those, but you may not get the protein that you need.
Right.
So yeah, I love that little shift in just the intention of how you eat, saying, okay, I'm going to start with this. And plus when you eat the protein, I mean, isn't it
fuller?
It's going to make you feel full longer, make you feel fuller. Like, so
less cravings when you eat protein versus carbs. So I always tell my kids to, like, instead of reaching for the crackers, right, reach for the beef stick, because it's going to have the protein in it versus the carbs, where you're just going to want to keep eating more crackers, right? That beef stick is going to make you feel fuller longer. Same thing with like do two hard boiled eggs versus this, protein balls versus this, because all you're going to do, those especially processed carbs, is it's going to make you on a high and then a low, and then you're going to just want to keep eating. That's why we can eat a whole stack of Oreos at one time, right? So just being able to make solid choices, you're not going to feel like you need to eat all the time and large amounts.
Right. Yeah. And I just lost my train of thought. I was going to reference what Joni was saying last week about protein. I don't know. I'll get back to it. But yeah, it really is like, it's a thing that I don't think enough people pay attention to. Even myself, I don't pay enough attention to it because when, like personally, I don't really crave animal proteins. Like I legit could be a vegetarian with the exception of like eating bacon.
Right.
And, or like even a vegan, but I do like cheese and, you know, cooking with butter every so often. But in general, like when I'm making a meal, I do struggle with making the protein, like if it's an animal protein, making that the highlight of the things that I eat, because I just really prefer vegetables. It's not even that I prefer starchy carb stuff. Like I really don't even like those kinds of things. I could just eat a giant mess of vegetables.
Right.
But am I getting enough protein when I do that? And, oh, I remember what Joni was going to say. It kind of ties into what I was just sharing, but she was saying too, like you can kind of cheat a little bit on your protein intake by supplementing with protein shakes, but it's important to kind of be careful with doing that because when we're consuming like an actual whole food, like a piece of chicken or piece of fish or whatever, it's got so many other vitamins and minerals that shake maybe doesn't have. I know there are some products out there that will add in some of that stuff, but what's your kind of take on that? Like, how do you utilize your protein shakes?
Yeah, I am a firm believer whole foods all the way, right? And I supplement with protein shakes because, again, I say the convenience. Liquid protein also digests faster. And so, like, if you're somebody who is trying to lose weight, a lot of times you'll see programs recommend a protein shake, right? Because it's better than cereal. It's better than eating bacon, you know, all those things. However, Pop-Tarts, but it's not what we want to, in that shake, you want to put in fruits and vegetables, you know, your spinach, your frozen fruit, your fat of some kind, right? We want it to become a whole meal, not just a protein shake. So I'm a firm believer in whole foods all the way. However, supplementation sometimes is easier and more convenient. And it's better than the alternative of what somebody might reach for. So,
And I'm such an advocate for supplementation in that it can be a really fantastic way to bridge the gap of like, okay, I know that I really need to make some serious changes, but making these serious changes, it can feel incredibly overwhelming.
Yes.
And so it is nice to kind of make that morning protein shake a stepping stone in the right direction because instead of like doing a bowl of cereal, which is just straight up a bunch of sugar, like it's actually a better alternative. But I have noticed actually like, I was on my own weight loss journey and I for sure was partaking in protein shakes. Like every single morning I had one. And then I would usually have one after like a little lunch. I would do one for a little bit extra protein just to keep me full until dinner. So I used them to fill the gaps a little bit for myself. But once I reached my goal weight, I started to recognize that my body really didn't want it anymore. I was kind of like, this feels like I'm just drinking weird muddy water at this point. Like my body didn't crave it in that way. It craved something more substantial.
Right.
And so I've gotten into the habit where like once a week I'll use my Vitamix and I'll put a bunch of scoops of protein in there, some almond milk, some cashews, some whole fruits, some spinach, and I just blend the whole thing. And depending on the consistency, whether I want to like drink it or eat it with a spoon, like a pudding or something.
Yes.
Well, depend on how much water I put in, but it's been such a fantastic way to get in a little like bout of protein. It tastes really good. It's got some all sorts of other vitamins and minerals in it. And it's like prepped and ready to go. It's the easiest thing. And it's fantastic for like breakfast or snacks.
Yes. And you know, the new fab or whatever you want to call it is the Ninja Creamy. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh. You need to go look.
It sounds like it's what I'm doing though.
It is basically making ice cream out of not ice cream, right? And so using your protein shake, so they're saying just make your protein shake, you pour it into the cup, you put it in your freezer, the next morning you pour just a little bit of almond milk in it, and it mixes it up and it's ice cream. And you guys, there's so many ways to use protein powder to make it your favorites more healthy, right? So people want ice cream. That's a great way to eat some ice cream on top of getting 20 to 25 grams of protein, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as, you see, what did I just see the other day? They put protein powder in there and you just never, like your baked bread, like banana bread, they put protein powder in there. You guys, using protein powder is such an easy way to make your favorites better for you, right? Instead of some of the other stuff. So I'm a firm believer in filling the gaps too. Like anybody over 25, I'm like, if you're not taking a probiotic, your gut's not going to be healthy. Like you need to, because at 25, you stop producing digestive enzymes. Your body stops breaking down the food the way it's supposed to, especially if you didn't treat it well in the last, you know, the previous 4 to 6 years. You need to be taking it mostly because if you don't, you're going to have gut issues, stomach issues, which ultimately leads you guys to depression, anxiety. I mean, our society right now, especially in teenagers, which I think has a lot to do with our food, their anxiety and depression medication is the highest it's been ever. And it's the two most, not diagnosed, but prescribed medication for teenagers ages 14 to 18 right now than any other drugs. So like just filling, you guys, that's in our food. That's just plumbly us eating. So just making those good decisions also for your kids is super important.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's honestly the thing. Like if you're struggling with the commitment and like the discipline for yourself, if you are a mother, like
right.
allow your children to be the reason that you're making different choices. And actually the third person that I have in this wellness series that, aired last week, her podcast episode, she was talking about, she goes, I now have taught my daughter so well that now if I go to put something in my mouth that she knows is not a healthy food, she will stop and say, Mom, that's not a healthy food. Should you be eating that? And she's like, well, damn it. I taught her too well because now she's calling me out.
Good but for her.
We need that accountability. And now she's passing that on to her child to recognize and be more intentional about what she eats. And when you can start that at a young age, game changing. Like if a child has grown up eating McDonald's, that's what they think is nourishing their body because they don't know any different.
Right.
We have to be the ones.
I want you to think about how that kid is functioning on a daily basis with non-food in their body, right? It's just sitting there. And it has no nutritional value whatsoever. So feed the brain. That's why I tell people like use protein to feed your brain.
Yeah. And so, okay. On that topic of feeding the brain, cause I want to talk about gut health before we run out of time. Obviously it's a very hot topic. It has been for the last, I don't know, 2-3 years, honestly, since the pandemic. And I think a lot of these network marketing companies just blowing up, a lot of people getting more involved in their own health. The topic of gut health is now not something that people are like completely oblivious to, which is, it's fantastic. I absolutely love it. Education is so powerful, but like, what are, obviously people suffer from some stuff. They're like, oh, that food makes my stomach hurt, or that makes me have bad digestion, or it stops me up or whatever. But like, there's a way around kind of reversing those issues almost to a degree. But like, what can people start doing to get themselves into a healthy gut?
Yeah. So the number one thing is an elimination diet. Like we have, you have to get into that elimination of the foods that are making you sick. More than likely, you guys, most of the time it's gluten and dairy, just because those are two of the most highly allergenic foods in our, on top of nuts, you know, like nuts is another one. But getting into that elimination diet, and then one, you have to get into the probiotic, like I told you. And then you guys, another hot topic right now, obviously, is greens, because of the amount of fiber that it brings to you, the amount of fruits and vegetables it's putting into your system automatically, which ultimately feeds our gut, right? And helps with the repair of the lining of our gut. So if you guys want to start, if you guys have stomach issues, you guys, when I started Arbonne, I had no idea how many people had stomach issues. Like had no idea.
Like live with them and do nothing about it. They're like, I haven't pooped in 4 days. And I'm like, what?
Yes. It becomes a norm to them. Like, cause they don't know any different. And then when you bring it to their attention, they're like, yeah, I have that. And I was like, God, let me help you. So yes, just consuming some kind of a probiotic, prebiotic. Another thing that we talked about, after 25, you stop producing those digestive enzymes. So if you can find one that also has digestive enzymes, that's super important. But in that elimination diet, just consuming whole foods, right? And consuming, like increasing that protein intake, which will help really heal the gut. And you'll start to find out like, okay, so now I'm going to put some cheese on this. It makes my stomach hurt. You're not ready for that. You guys, it doesn't mean that you will forever not be able to eat cheese. It just means your body needs to heal your gut in order to process it. And I don't know about you, Sarah, but I remember when we used to have cheese in my fridge when I was little, it would mold in 7 days. Easy, right? Now the cheese lasts 2 to 3 months in our fridge without any mold, which again, then you can tell how processed it is. So
that's a good point.
Our bodies are just not used to how processed the food is, which in turn, it doesn't know how to function with that kind of food. So
speak from experience with having digestion issues. There was, okay, so let's see, probably about a decade ago, I had severe gut reactions when I would eat red meat. Like it really never happened if I was eating maybe like ground beef, like a burger or something, or fajitas. But if I had a steak within 30 minutes, and like, I don't want to gross anybody out, but within 30 minutes, I'm like, I better know where a bathroom is, because my body was like eliminating violently. It just was like, could not handle it. And I experienced that a couple times over because I kept thinking like, seriously, I'm at a point now where I'm not going to be able to eat a steak for the rest of my life. And I was thinking like, ugh. But I think back to that time in my life and how I was actually taking care of myself as a whole. I was not. I was staying up way too late. I was drinking lots of alcohol. I was partying. I was eating anything under the sun that I felt like eating. Like it didn't matter if it was a whole food or processed or anything like that. And clearly my body was screaming for help. Yep. And so I essentially, the only thing I gave myself permission enough to do was like just eliminate. So for probably about 7 years, I didn't really eat red meat and my body kind of healed and repaired. But I don't recommend doing that entirely because then you can create some like resistance to foods like where your body's like, well, I can't have this anymore because I'm not used to like, I don't know how to process it. So I do think there's a much better way of doing it, like Lindsay's saying. And so if you're feeling like you have disease with any kind of food, really pay attention. Does it make me feel sleepy? Does it make me feel crampy, gassy, any of the things? Because that's your body just shouting at you saying, please pay attention. Maybe we shouldn't consume this anymore. I'm having to work overtime to like make this process. And that actually, I wanted to talk to you while we're on the topic of gut health, collagen. How, I know this is a hot topic for a lot of different reasons. Like gut health is coming into the fold more and more as to why collagen is so important. But I don't think enough people recognize the importance of collagen that, your hair might look better, your skin might look better, but that's not the reason you should take collagen.
Right. So it's just one of those things. Our body just stops producing, right? So we get to an age and our body just stops producing certain things. Our joints and everything, they need those connective tissues, the collagen in it, that our bones need the collagen in it in order to function. And so collagen has become kind of a hot topic. And what kind of collagen, right? What are we supposed to be doing? And what, because there's animal collagen, obviously that is on the market. And then there's, like Arbonne is no animal byproducts. It's a collagen builder. So what it's going to do is going to help your body naturally start producing the collagen by itself. And so you just have to decide what is best for you, but yes, healthy hair, skin, and nails, who doesn't want that? But on top of that, there's just so much more that your body needs it for, the elasticity of everything you can think about in your body. It needs it. But also your bones need that in it.
Yeah. And for me, like the reason I take collagen is first I started taking it because I was like, oh, my hair is getting so thin, like, you know, whatever, all of the vanity metrics was like the reason. Right. But then when I started to really learn about it and how like literally our gut lining starts to like do this, and then what happens? Food particles are now in our bloodstream. No wonder we're having food allergies, right? Yes. So like the collagen helps just kind of bind it back together and create like a strong structure of a home, right? Yeah. It keeps the walls from having holes poked in them.
Yep.
And once I learned that, I was like, that's the reason I'm taking collagen. And I think there's like this misconception that like, if you drink collagen, you have collagen. It's like, that's not how it works.
Right. Right.
Your body has to produce it in order for you to have it. So that's why whenever Lindsay said like the one that she uses, it helps our bodies create the amino acids that therefore then produce the collagen proteins. That's what you want in the product. So that's just a little sidebar where it's like, let's cool it with the hype and let's really talk about why it is so vital. Because I mean, after what is it, like 25, like you said, it, we just don't produce it. And then we get a little saggy and wrinkly and we're like, we could help stave that off just a little bit longer.
Just a little bit.
So obviously you have a love for sports nutrition, and did your like love for nutrition and all of that stem from being in sports yourself? Or did it start once you became like a coach?
Yeah, let me tell you the backstory about how I actually found the protein that I use. And I was a college volleyball coach looking for a clean protein for my student athletes. And growing up in athletics and as a college coach, I had tried so many, like so many. And I came across Arbonne's protein and I was like, I did the ingredient check. I did the taste test, right? Because I knew these 18-year-old girls were not going to drink something that was not, didn't taste good.
Yeah.
So I did the taste test and I really studied it for a long time. And that's how I found actually Arbonne's protein. And then when I started learning about the company and just everything they believe in, I could really get behind it. But yeah, my passion came from just trying to fuel my student athletes, right? Properly, because it was a McDonald's at, you know, 11 o'clock at night, or they didn't understand why we couldn't go to Wendy's after a game. I'm like, because
there's no nutrition.
Yes, there's no nutrition in that. So just that became a passion. But really when I got into helping people eat whole foods through Arbonne's, that's when my passion came. And then when I learned, okay, I also could go back and teach student athletes. Like if I knew now what I knew then when I was a student athlete, I would have been a way better student athlete, right? So just helping people, because a lot of times it's like you said, it's just about educating them. Mm-hmm. And once they know, then they're informed.
Right. And that's it. It's everything in life comes down to awareness. If you don't have awareness of it, you don't have any education, any background on it. I mean, why would you hold importance to it? I get it.
Yes.
As a competitive gymnast, I legit lived off of chips and salsa and cookies. Like before a 5-hour practice, I would down like a bowl of salsa and like half a bag of tortilla chips. And I still had a freaking 8-pack, but that's not healthy, that I was not giving myself sustainable energy. And how on earth I even got through 60-hour workout weeks eating that way, I mean, I'll never know. Yes. I pushed through apparently, but that's not healthy. And so it all comes down to education. And that's exactly why we're doing this episode right now.
Yes.
So someone can hear something and be like, oh shit, I didn't know that. Okay, let me pay attention. So share with us like the top three things whenever you're talking to your student athletes and, you know, you're telling them like, these are the top three things you need to really focus on if you're going to do nothing else. Like, what is that?
So I always tell them like, it's like a jar, right? You have a jar and you put your big rocks in and then your small rocks and then the sand, right? We need to fix the big rocks first, which is basically like your protein is number one, your hydration, number two, and energy drinks. Those are number three. Those are the top three things. When I go sit down with a team, those are the three things I talk to them about, because energy drinks, as we know, have just blown up and they are probably the worst thing on the market for our student athletes. The amount of caffeine in those, the long-term effect of those drinks, we will not know. This is the generation we will find out what the long-term effect of energy drinks is. And so I really just try to educate them, like your body is not meant to have 300 milligrams of caffeine in it to go play a baseball game. Like it's just not supposed to do that. Your heart is going to pound out of your chest.
Yes.
And then I talk about hydration, mostly because yes, they drink a lot of water, but we also need to get electrolytes back. We also need salt. Like salt water obviously is another hot topic right now in the nutrition world. drinking salt water. And so just getting those electrolytes, getting salt back in their body, so their body will hang on to fluid, and then obviously their protein intake, because most student athletes, again, they'll go home and they'll just like shovel rice and, you know, anything into their body. But what protein are we consuming, and when should they consume it? That's another thing that we talk about on a consistent basis.
Yeah, that's good. I'm with you with the energy drink thing. Like I've actually told people, and this has been for well over 15 years that I've said this, anytime someone has offered me an energy drink or anything of the sort, I'm like, no thanks. My liver's already working overtime because like I drink wine or whatever. Right. Like that's the thing about energy drinks that I think people just don't necessarily have full awareness on. Like it's not just energy that it's giving you. It's also giving you way too much caffeine, way too much sugar, and way too much of all of these processed things that now your liver is having to work through and work overtime. And so if you're someone who already drinks alcohol, already drinks coffee, and you're drinking energy drinks, your liver is not in great shape.
Yes. And the brain trying to work on that much caffeine is why anxiety, that's another reason why anxiety is so high on these kids, because they don't know how to function in a normal state. They always have to be up here. And so when they come to the normal state, they just, they don't know how to function. So yes, that's my three hot topics.
That's a really good point that you make. Like there's so many kids these days that don't understand what actually being like regulated and balanced feels like, it, cause it's always this, it's always just the spike and the drop. And like my entire life, I am not a coffee drinker. You don't know how many people I come into contact with and they're like, what? You don't drink coffee? Like, are you the only adult in the world that doesn't drink coffee? They think it's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But I just don't. It's one of those things that I decided for myself that I didn't need that extra little spike. I didn't want it. I didn't like the way I saw it like affect people around me, that they would get this zing and then all of their like sweaty palms, and then they just drop really heavy. I'm like, I don't think I need that in my life. And so I just drink water and like I drink alcohol every now and then, but like, I just, when it comes to energy, I don't know, for a while, it kind of became like a little bit of a game where I'm like, I wonder as I continue to age, if I'm going to be able to have my own energy in the morning when I wake up. Is there a time where I'm going to wake up and be like, okay, now's the day I got to start drinking coffee? I mean, I'm 36 now and I've yet to have that day. Like I don't consume any caffeine of any kind, unless it's like a one-off, one of like an energy additive supplement that maybe has like 80 grams of caffeine. Yeah. Like if I go over 80, oh my gosh, it's like I'm on drugs or something. It's crazy.
Yes.
I'm all shaky and sweaty.
Yes. I'm in the same boat. Like I used to drink coffee a lot, like 3 cups of coffee a day at least. Mm-hmm. And then I just, I had extreme anxiety on game days. Like I couldn't function and stay like in the moment on game days. And that was the day I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm just not going to do it anymore. And I just couldn't, I did not understand until I gave that up how much clearer my brain was.
Yeah.
To like be calm, make adjustments in the middle of the game, and be able to just really see what was going on. So yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. And we're not saying coffee's bad, obviously, but too much of anything out of moderation is not, it's just not going to be healthy for you. And so, yeah, it's, I've gotten to that point with alcohol actually, where I am on the verge of just like not drinking anymore. And not because like I have a problem with it. I just don't like the way I feel the next day. And honestly, it's at a point now where it's like almost a full 2 to 3 days later where I can still feel the mental fog, where I just don't have that cognitive function that I am used to having on a daily basis. And it's like, whoa, I drank like 3 days ago and I'm still feeling a little funky. And so now I have the awareness around it. And so I can make an informed decision to be like, well, maybe I just don't want that in my life anymore.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. That. This is such a good conversation. I love that you're so passionate about it. I love that you're able to, you know, even though you're not doing the coaching on the college level anymore, you have your own gym and you're able to impart this knowledge on other people. And So anybody who's listening to this that has questions about women's health, protein intake, all of the things that we clearly know Lindsay knows, she got it unlocked. Go connect with her on Instagram, and she's got a website as well. We'll put everything in the show notes for you so you can easily get connected with her. But anything you'd like to share as we sign off for today?
No, this is amazing. And again, this is like one of my favorite topics. I've done trainings for our company all over the US just about women and protein. And so this is just a great topic. And I love just talking about it. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Women's health needs more of a platform. I mean, I know that it's talked about a lot, but it honestly, it's one of those things. It can't be talked about enough. It's never going to go out of style. It's something that every woman at one point in their life will struggle with and have a misunderstanding of. So people like you are vital.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lindsay. And you guys go check the show notes, get connected with her, and we'll see you at the next show. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Branded, the podcast. Please rate and review. And for more information, visit socialjanemedia.com. I'll see you soon.